Hi, Michael.
Hey, Ken.
Hi, Mike. Oh.
All right.
Neil?
Yeah. We've got five people on the call and only three on the chat board. So who's not on the chat board?
I'm not on.
Neil and Mike. Mike probably. Did you say you weren't in front of a computer or something?
Yes, I'm going to try to get out of the chat with my cell phone.
Yeah. Great. So, over to you, Ken. Anytime you want to get us started.
Okay, so we can start. I'd like to welcome everyone. Peter, you're going to be...
I'll take notes.
Taking the notes?
Yeah, as best I can, but I still urge everyone to document what they say themselves on the chat board so that doesn't get misinterpreted or paraphrased.
Okay. I see we have the result of the logo.
Yes.
Let's see. Shemmy 4 and a Shemmy C.
Looks like Ollie is going to compete with himself.
Yes. It's actually the same design, which is good, which means everybody liked that design.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we seem to have a clear winner then.
Right, right. It's very clear. I mean, the runner-up isn't even sort of close by one vote. I mean, it's more than one vote.
Okay. I think, let's see, the next week we're going to have, as I recall, we have 1 week to get suggestions for any changes to the...
To the author, yeah, to the designer, yeah.
To the designer, okay. So encourage everyone who has any suggestions about the logo to contact Hashemi.
No, I think we should put it on the list. Make it a discussion.
You want to have a discussion right now?
No, they're not here, but on the mailing list. On that
on
thread.
List.
Yeah, on the thread. After this meeting, sometime today, I'm going to post these results to that thread anyway. And then let's discuss over there.
All right, that's great.
Yeah.
Glad to see it. Now, so moving on to the main topic of the workshop today, which is the architecture and API. During the last couple of weeks, I've been working on the user interface, trying to get the sandbox up. It's good that we have a logo, but there's much more to the user interface than just the logo. Now, one of the architecture components is, of course, the user interface. We have been following the style, basically, of the BioPortal. Does anyone have any suggestions about that particular component of the architecture, the user interface component? Is everyone satisfied with that particular approach to that component?
Ken, one comment that includes this in a little broader. I noticed that BioPortal 3.0 was apparently released, I think, yesterday. And I don't know if anybody has looked at that, or we may want to share what we know about that at some point.
They have a new release. Have they documented what has changed in their release?
I'm not sure. I looked quickly through the announcement, but I didn't dig down in details. It's a 3.0 release, so I assume it's a fairly substantive set of changes. I think there was at least a top-level summary, but I don't have it with me.
It would be good to be able to look at that, the summary at least, to see what impact it would have on us.
Right. I'll see if I can find the email message and forward it if I can get to it.
Oh, yes, please. Also, I mean, if a couple of days ago, I forwarded that one to Ontolog Forum, and I think OR Forum as well, is the release of, the next version, I forgot the number, 3.6 or 3.4.6, of Protégé, which now has some integration to BioPortal. So you can actually get BioPortal ontologies and edit them on Protégé directly. That's Web Protégé beta. Yes, now I remember.
Yeah, I think they've actually had some connection to BioPortal for a while.
It's a very different team developing. And they were working on that, and I think this is sort of the first time it's properly released. There's probably test versions around, but I think this is the first time.
Okay, and this is still Protégé 3-based rather than 4-based, right?
It's 3-base because 4 is very, very much a sort of single user version.
Right.
And
right.
They have,
although it's also
And 3.x is a sort of server client server version.
Right. Right. Although 4 is pretty much what most OWL users are going to want to use.
Right. Yeah, because the heretic is 3 was the original Ray Ferguson Stanford version, whereas the 4 is mainly like the Manchester development.
Right. And frame based rather than the one that was built for the ground up for OWL.
Right. But soon enough, I mean, I think both will merge because the Stanford people have taken over. Manchester has stopped. I mean, funding ran out, and I think all the most of the development is back at Stanford now.
Ah, that was my impression too.
Yeah,
and it'll certainly be great when they merge.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I think, I mean, now that we're still sort of working on the fork and bring up the next version of BioPortal, it's definitely useful to look at what it is. Since Ken and Tejas, you're picking up from the head of the trunk, maybe you're already sort of using code that is what they are calling 3. I don't know.
We're using pretty recent code.
Right, which leads me to think that you might even already be using that. But it's useful to find out, and you're going to have a meeting with Paul Alexander anyway, so.
Yes,
there would definitely be one person who would know.
There are some issues you have to address. That is not obvious when you're using BioPortal.
Mm-hmm.
In particular, some of the like the search interface, the search screen, is actually a Swift file, which uses it uses a University of Victoria site, and this is hard coded. There's no way we could change that. So when you're doing a search from at the moment from our sandbox, you're going to be searching BioPortal whether you like it or not. You cannot search the OR sound box. So that's one of the issues we're going to be trying to address when we contact BioPortal. But that's a sort of a development issue that I think is less relevant to this meeting. I posted my comment on my feeling about an issue we have with the UI, and I was wondering if anyone had any comment about this. This is on the chat board. Look at the chat room. So in looking at the design of this particular component, there is really no distinction. Every user has access to every screen. But there's a question about whether that makes sense for us because we have different roles for the users. You come in, you register, you know, you're a particular kind of user. It may make sense for that to be reflected in the UI, so you won't even know that a particular screen exists because you have no access to it. Anyway, that's a thought. I mean, it's not essential that we have this in the UI. Of course, it's a little awkward if a person sees a screen and then tries to use it and it tells them, sorry, you don't have access.
Yeah, definitely. You know, since we run this gatekeeper thing that we have been talking about, so it's just reasonable or prudent to make the UI useful in that set of, in that arrangement.
It certainly would have an impact on the architecture, and so I. So opening up this for a general discussion and comments about the issue. Any comments, Mike?
One of the things I remember from the 3.0 release, and I hope to forward that at the moment, is they enabled some of the security framework, which at least allows differentiating access. So, I agree with you that it would be good to, you know, not expose capabilities to users that they don't have access to.
That's a good point. We, of course, would also have security rules. But I think that's somewhat different in that security might be more concerned with which ontology you have access to rather than which capabilities you have.
But I think it's. I think the notion of sort of role-based access control kind of fits in, for Vault in terms of the roles, identifying the roles and the specific permissions.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that then is another issue is the security rules. So clearly security rules and the gatekeeping rules interact with one another. I suppose there's a question about whether we should have, perhaps those two should be regarded as the same collection rather than two independent sets of rules that must be enforced. Does that make sense?
Should we be running security under gatekeeping? Or having one run under the other?
So, yeah, that's definitely an architecture question. I mean, I think the current architecture for BioPortal, they have a separate layer for security rather than having it be integrated in as a component the way we're specifying.
Right, but we are specifying different workflows as well, which I don't think they have a workflow module.
Right, they have the workflow module. They have roles in the sense that you come in with a, they do have security roles. But yeah, it's a different, definitely a different architecture that they're using. So what do you think? Should we treat this then as a gatekeeping? Treat security as a gatekeeping issue, and just integrate security rules into the workflow rules? I'll comment that on the chat room.
So Ken, I think there's benefits to having essentially the same model that's applied. So certainly the same roles that I think are used for gatekeeping, should be used at the lower level for the security as well at the web service interface.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. That so they just made a comment about that in the chat room, so we keep a record of it.
But do we need any consensus or anything? I mean, since we're addressing it, we might as well discuss some and make a decision. Most of these are sort of just needs to be decided one way or the other.
Right. I mean, this is an architecture workshop, and we're following the basic plan of action, which is to propose these. The proposed architecture decisions, then go through a process of making the decision. So the proposal I'm making here actually would have some impact on the architecture, particularly because it's different from the bioportal approach. So advantage in switching from BioPortal, in that we would diverge even further from BioPortal.
So what does BioPortal have again? Could you just with this particular feature? BioPortal is uniform.
BioPortal does have a uniform UI. I've been working on that. Basically, everybody sees the same screen. You navigate the same way. There's no way in which a particular role is taken into account.
Yeah, I just forwarded the BioPortal 3.0 announcement, and it refers to Security Framework Part 1, which has an app key parameter for web services. But, yeah, it sounds like that's at the service level rather than at the user interface level.
Where did you send this? Okay, so we should be getting that.
It should be in your inbox.
Right. There's also some web interface updates and let's see, something called provisional term web service, which looks like it's for submitting potential updates to the ontology.
So currently in BioPortal, you can access all the screens, but the server will check your role as to actions?
I think the checking is new. So I'm not sure, what they're distinguishing with the API key, if it really is user level or if it's more sort of system level. That would be a good thing to learn. So you it says to log into BioPortal to get your API key. So I assume it's per user, and that presumably does or could include some role information.
Right. It would need some investigating to see exactly how that interacts with the rest of their architecture. But as I recall, it's a separate layer that they're adding on top.
Yeah, I think they're actually using one of the security frameworks. I don't quite remember which one.
There's a particular security framework out
there. Right, it's on the architecture diagram somewhere.
It's in their architecture diagram.
Yeah, they mentioned that for a long time it was never implemented and looks like, I mean, it's up now.
Right, they refer to this as part one, so I assume that they'll be exposing more of that over time.
Maybe more than a phone conversation between Ken and Paul Alexander. Maybe we should run a workshop between this team and theirs.
Yeah.
Is it?
I think that could be helpful. Yeah.
Right. I think that the
framework.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Security framework, as I recall, it's just basically saying that you log in. Whereas right now you just click on the website. You just open the website. But the impact it has on the UI and so on, that remains to be seen. By new web services, I assume they just mean new web service methods. Not that they have a whole new web service.
Well, I think it's a new set of services for proposing changes.
Yeah, but I mean, the way it's set up right now, they just have one web service. It's the core.
Right. I think it's digital methods.
So it's just a method that they're adding. They're just adjusting their method. They've been doing little adjustments to their methods for some time. All right, looking at their overview, it doesn't look like there's any really major change other than the instituting the new security framework. And that makes sense for us, too. I mean, obviously, we'd want that anybody who comes into this must log in and establish, you know, the role that they're going to be playing. And then, of course, that role would have an impact on the workflow they engage in. So it doesn't seem like anybody objects to these suggestions for the architecture.
So the suggestion would be what? A role-based UI?
It'll be a role-based UI.
Okay. Is there any potential issues where they may diverge? In other words, in the future. So I don't know. Currently, I guess it's role. You're planning it to be role based, but what about at some point you decide to make attributes or both? There should be no impact.
What exactly are you?
Well, you know, I guess you're planning a role-based security, is that right? Role-based access?
Right, a role-based access.
Oh, rule as opposed to role. Not
well,
R-O-L-E.
Rules, yeah, the rules would specify, would be checking against your rule.
Ah, okay. Yeah, and so, I mean, we can't think of, at least right now, where there could be divergence in the future between the, the security and the workflow.
I can't think of it offhand. It would seem like the right approach, mm-hmm. but I'm not really. I can't say I'm not much of an expert on this particular aspect of user interfaces. I mean, there's definitely a, something of a distinction between the what they call discretionary access and mandatory access. Is everyone familiar with that distinction?
Not really. I mean, I can imagine what it means, but I'm not sure.
This comes up in security frameworks in general. The in a discretionary access control, each object is owned by somebody, and that person has complete discretion in determining who has access to it. And can specify individuals that have access to it, groups that have access to it, things like that. In mandatory access control, there is no such notion of an owner. A particular resource, like an ontology, would be established with a particular set of constraints, and individuals would have access to that depending on what their role is.
So, Leo, in a DoD context, the mandatory is usually used for classification levels and discretionary for need to know.
Ah, I see.
Yeah, mandatory is often used in military contexts. Discretionary is the usual one, the technique that is used for, in systems in general. That would be the, like for file security. On a system, each file is owned by somebody. It's the person that created it. It's rather different for mandatory access control. Mandatory access control tends to be associated with rules. Discretionary access control is more associated with access control lists. It seems like we're moving more toward the mandatory type approach where we have rules and we don't particularly think of these resources as being owned by an individual.
Well, Ken, I think some of the roles could be relative. So, for instance, the role of submitter could mean the submitter of a specific ontology rather than somebody who has submit rights for any ontology.
Submitter is within a particular group. So it's actually a hierarchy of roles.
Right, but in addition to that, it's also... you would have submitter rights essentially to the ontologies that you submitted. You would not necessarily have the ability to, say, change the attributes of any ontology that was submitted.
That's correct. Yes. The rules that they are set up are, as I said, as a hierarchy. You're not a submitter in an absolute sense. You're a submitter within the particular community or group. And you have the right to submit within that group. For another group, you would just be considered a user. So, the roles are a little more nuanced than, just the security levels that you have in, say, a military framework. Todd, I noticed that you are in the chat room.
Yeah. Hello, everyone.
Hi, Todd.
Hi, Peter. Sorry about missing yesterday.
Mm-hmm. We missed
about it.
You too.
Anyway.
Yeah. Right.
I missed it too. I was actually at a faculty meeting. It's one of those things that you have to endure at a university. Michael, you can appreciate that.
Yeah, but usually I'll take the telephone over that meeting.
You mean everyone was sitting there with their Blackberries underneath the tables doing something?
So, Ken, just I was just wondering, so when you're talking about the UI, then that's including all the workflow, too?
Well, yeah, it seems to me that, you know, the current setup doesn't have any kind of workflow in the UI. It's just your usual, you know, collection of screens, each, you know, like a search screen and, you know, main screen and so on. Whereas if you take a workflow approach, then the UI presumably would be a little different.
Well, even without a workflow approach, many situations have the UI dependent on the role that you're entering as or in.
Right, yeah. I agree.
You know, for instance, if you have sort of a tab display on your browser, certain tabs may not show up. You're not allowed to access them. Or they may all the capabilities may be grayed out because you're not allowed to play with them.
Exactly. I mean, there is no mechanism right now for that in the UI.
Oh. I guess
everybody has the same access rights.
I guess I jumped to the conclusion based on the role structure that you had identified that because certain roles couldn't do certain things, they would not have access to those things in the first place, or all those things would be grayed out for them.
Is that's us, but I think Ken was saying BioPortal isn't.
That's not BioPortal.
Oh, okay. Sorry, came in late.
Yeah, I mean, my suggestion, it's in the, if you look at the chat room.
Yeah, I did, and I sent a question back. I'm still not sure what gatekeeping means, but I think my answer to your question is yes.
Gatekeeping is this particular component, the workflow component.
Well, I know that, but I'm still not clear exactly what its responsibilities are.
It's what we're defining.
Heard from the term.
I guess
that's exactly what we're
defining
right
it to be now. Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Sorry.
What issue is does this workflow or gatekeeping module also responsible for security, enforcing security rules.
Well, based on the title, the label you're using, I would say yes.
Yes, and that's... So I think we're on agreement on that point.
Okay.
So this represents a component that doesn't exist in BioPortal and it has an impact on the user interface.
Mm-hmm. Of course, I mean, it's simpler not to have it, but I think what our goals are really requires it.
Right.
So is that a sort of formal disposition that we will be... Yeah.
Can we... give this as a. Do we need to formally say now that we have come to an agreement on this? And,
yeah, we might as well.
This would be part of the specification. You want to explain to people what this gatekeeping component is responsible for and what it does, and then we talk about how it actually does it.
Okay, good. Can you record that in the meeting page, Peter?
Yes, I actually am already. If you refresh the page, and look, I haven't got to this one yet, but I could record saying security rules and gatekeeping rules will be integrated in direct.
There's two things, Peter. One is that the gatekeeping is responsible for enforcing roles, behavior, and then the other part, I guess I'm if I'm understanding properly, is that these enforcement policies will be represented as rules.
Can someone type the at least the candidate statement on the chat, and then we can wordsmith it to something that could be recorded as being adopted?
Todd, are you going to try that?
Yeah, I have to go on back on speakerphone, but yes, I will try that.
Okay. We want to formally agree on this aspect of the architecture.
Folks, I have to leave now. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Leo.
Thanks, Leo. I should mention that they do the BioPortal does have a separate UI, which they call the administrative UI.
Yeah.
So they, in that sense, they have kind of two roles that one can play, either the regular UI or the admin UI. So they do have that one distinction.
Right. When you say uniform, I was almost about to bring that up. They actually have two sort of different entry points into the system.
Yes.
But I guess they deal with it almost like two different systems, so I sort of stopped short of bringing that up.
Right. It's not really what I'm thinking of, because admin is really more systems administrator.
Mm-hmm.
So it's handling the low-level aspects of the of your particular, instance. It's not very much concerned with what we're talking about, which is access to the resources, the ontology.
Mm. Yep.
The current design of the GUI is complicated. It does use Ruby on Rails, but it also uses JavaScript and ActionScript and these Swift files. But that's design, not architecture. One aspect of this that might be interesting from the architecture standpoint is this idea of plugins. So it would make sense for the architecture to have some extendability. Is that a requirement of the OOR?
Yeah, I guess this is a key aspect that we should look at. I mean, since we are trying to get this project into an open source, open contribution type project, I think we should spend some really quality time discussing how we're going to achieve that. Obviously, surface oriented architecture is one way to do it. Plug-in architecture is another, but I mean, do we need both? Do we do only one? I don't know the answers, but I think this is a good question.
Well, given the fact that we need to represent multiple representation language, some notion of plug-in has to be in there. And I guess the simplest way to do, one way to do the plug-in is through a service-oriented architecture. Each of those modules, whatever, for a particular language is looks like a service. No?
Yeah. Okay, but before we can we conclude on the security versus gatekeeping tenet?
Okay.
But you just sort of defined gatekeeping.
But the
subject being discussed was actually security and gatekeeping, or security versus gatekeeping. Should one subsume the other? I mean, what is the one specification we want to capture that sort of says
what gatekeeping does?
Not what gatekeeping does, but how gatekeeping and security
are related?
Are being implemented, I guess.
Oh, I don't want to get to the implementation part. I'm still trying to make clear what gatekeeping is responsible for. Now, I think that the first thing you asked about, Peter, I believe that from what I've heard, gatekeeping subsumes security aspects, whatever that means. And the thing I put in, I only talked about enforcing the rule-based behaviors. Now, if that's sufficient to cover all aspects of security.
Todd, I think they overlap significantly, but I don't think one subsumes the other. For example, gatekeeping wouldn't necessarily be involved in deleting an ontology, but security certainly would.
Oh, right. Well, I assume there's more going on in gatekeeping than just enforcing these roles. But is there something in security that gatekeeping wouldn't be taken care of?
The delete example.
Actually, we're not planning to have delete as an operation.
I think in practice you're going to almost have to. There's probably going to be somebody submit something that they didn't intend to.
Right. But Michael,
or later need to retract.
Michael,
I agree with you. It's not a good idea, but
Michael, aren't you going to constrain who can delete an ontology or an entry or metadata or something?
Sure, that's part of the security function.
Right, but that sounds like gatekeeping to me. Again, maybe it's because we're still not clear what gatekeeping really means.
I think gatekeeping is basically what are the criteria for entering an ontology into the system.
That was the original Barry Smith gatekeeping. But the Ken Bukowski gatekeeping actually also regulates everything that happens once you pass the gate as well. Am I correct? So the Ken Bukowski version of gatekeeping is get past the gate, and here is the workflow that will be presented to you.
It's not exactly just my idea. It does go back to the original ontology summit, where they agreed that the ISO 11179 should be used.
Yeah.
And that very definitely has workflows and roles. In fact, everything that is in the gatekeeping component is based on 11179.
That's still on my to-read list. Sorry, Ken.
That I think makes sense, and certainly seems to cover the life cycle.
Right. So it's just it isn't. It's hardly a new thing. I didn't suggest.
No, but I assume that sort of the use of that term when Barry Smith. I mean, because on the communique, it actually spells out what minimal gatekeeping means in fair detail, and actually was argued and kept to a minimum.
Oh, it's really there?
Yes, it specifies. I mean, the ontology needs to have more than one element or something. I mean, it is several. I mean, it must have metadata and so on and so forth. It must have a name, and the name has to correspond to the content. Something like that. I mean, it's in the communique, actually.
Oh, yeah. No,
it might make sense to use a broader term like gatekeeping and lifecycle support or something like that to emphasize that there's
more than the original gatekeeping.
Yeah, there's no question that there's a certain minimum level
yes.
of gatekeeping, but that particular communities can
extend it
and have, you know, can extend and, you know, add new rules. I don't think that is the issue here. But I agree with you. You know, that would be a good point to change the name to make it clear that this is a component that has, you know, a larger role.
Role, yeah, absolutely.
In the architecture. Well,
yeah, or alternatively, to be more explicit about the functionality that comes under the umbrella of gatekeeping.
Right.
Yeah, I think we should identify that functionality, then we could figure out what the terminology should be so it's clearer.
Yeah, because it could be the case that some functionalities are more the security role-oriented gatekeeping, whereas others are more along the lines of,
yeah.
And if, for lack of a better word, ontology quality, or like Mike said, ontology lifecycle characteristics.
Right. Yeah, and then also on your architecture, you have an administration, which again is a sort of a somewhat ambiguous term, given all these as well. I mean, I could say this is administration, and
it
could mean anything.
Yeah, so I think we probably need to don't be obsessed with coming up with definitions of these different parts of the architecture, but be more kind of functionality oriented in describing what comes under the the umbrella of each of these different terms.
Right. Do you think we could capture some of this?
It's on the recording.
Okay, we have it on the recording.
Michael, I mean, could you type your last?
Yeah. I'll take some of
that one is good.
That's really good. We need to capture these comments in the specification of the architecture. As Todd points out, the number of the terms for the components are still pretty vague, and it's difficult to come up with an API if you don't know exactly what it's doing.
That doesn't stop a lot of people.
Yes, I know. But sometimes it does help. I mean, I teach all of this in my software development course, and one of my students was in yesterday, and he was telling me how all of the stuff that I had taught him, he was now using at EMC.
Oh, good.
They're going through everything by the rules now.
Who is EMC?
EMC
is going through the rules, or
they're doing all the UML diagrams, all the software development process, and they're very happy with it.
No, they should come work for Raytheon. We got lots of processes. Michael, you haven't learned about them yet, like you, or have you?
We're getting there.
You're getting there. Now we're going to capture some of this.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah, Michael, I was using the term responsibilities instead of functionalities, but we could use functionalities. That might be clearer.
Yeah, I guess I was thinking in terms of functionalities just because that's ultimately what we'll be kind of implementing.
Yeah, but it might be easier to just write down some of the responsibilities than we can confuse ourselves with functionalities, but that's fine. If we can get the functionalities first, it'll save time.
Okay.
Okay, I posted the link to the communique where it describes the gatekeeping criteria, and specifically say gatekeeping is not quality control.
Yeah, so certainly agree with that. We do have. I mean, BioPortal certainly has this idea of commenting and evaluating.
Okay. So,
that's pretty nice looking communique.
I beg your pardon?
That's a pretty nice looking communique.
Well, it is. Actually, I mean, if you look, I mean, look further down, it says metadata. I mean, it's amazing how much stuff, I mean, goes into these communique that are extremely useful years afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Michael, you were there.
Those people sure did a good job, that one.
Well, you're one of them.
Definitely, right there in the communique is ISO 11179.
Yeah, right. I think we're all there. I mean, now I mean, the four of us still on the phone. I mean, Leo too, earlier.
Yeah.
But it also mentions ISO 19763. I'm not sure what that is.
Wow.
That's in the same group as 11179. It's supposed to be more ontology kind of oriented. So that's like Evan Wallace and who else is on that group? But it's supposed to be more of a kind of the semantic, trying to be more ontology work into 11179.
Meta model for ontology registration.
That's
the ontology model mapping. Process model registration.
They're having a meeting right now, actually. Or maybe it's over, but the past few days they've had a meeting in Hawaii. I've been getting emails about that. But there are like a lot of, I don't know if you've ever been to ISO meetings, you know, it's a lot of editorial stuff that gets sent out as well.
No,
but like Elisa Kendall, I guess, would be maybe one of the primary drivers behind that within ISO. Together with Evan.
ISO is not really a... Now, do you have to pay for these things?
Oh, yeah. Most all the time.
Yeah, unless
maybe
the...
why I haven't looked at it.
Yes.
Well, no, but see, these aren't standards yet. I mean, like, they're still under development a lot of ways. So, you know, if you become a member of ISO, then you can, you know, you're participating in the development of them, and you get the spec then. And it's usually only the final standard that's you have to pay for. So it's sort of like the difference between a preprint and a published paper, right? So if you're kind of involved in it, you can get these before they go up for ballot, which is substantially the same, but you get the same technical content. It's just not the final product that has the ISO copyright.
Yeah, it's sort of a miracle that they got the Common Logic spec released to the public for free. Did you have a hand in that, Michael?
Well, I don't have too much pull within ISO. I mean, I definitely supported that, but, I think it was just that group within ISO was favorable to the proposal.
But they got it released for free.
Right. But see, I think the other, you know, kind of reason why was because that group doesn't have a lot of industrial participants, a lot of government and academic people, and so they're more conducive to openness sometimes. Where some of the other groups that have more automotive and aerospace companies or you know, the big IT companies, they want to kind of close things off sometimes, I find.
Okay.
Who's using this standard?
19763?
Yeah, I mean, some of it is published.
Yeah, I'm not sure who's using it, per se. I'd say there's a lot of overlap with 11179 in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I'm looking at it, and it's almost the same, except that it has examples that talk about Common Logic and OWL.
Right. So I'd say it's supposed to be more ontology-oriented, ontology-based than 11179, which is, you know, in a lot of ways, very outdated. Being very more information data model oriented.
I don't know, they have a lot here. They have RMODP. Very nice. I think we follow that pretty carefully, but, I mean, I'm not sure who this... What did you say this is?
Sorry, who?
Who is doing this?
Well, at least a Kendall's involved,
Evan Wallace
is involved.
Mm. Oh, okay.
We could actually, you know, maybe, you know, one thing is we could maybe have a bit of a... We could invite them to give a little overview of work that's going on there.
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of, yeah.
It's fairly recent.
That's a good idea.
The last update was April 19th.
Yeah, and like I said, there's a meeting going on right now. I haven't seen anything about it once. Oh, let's see. I got an email the other day in semantic mappings.
Yeah, it seems like significant overlap between what they're doing and what we're doing at OOR.
There's another one under development, 20943. And it's dealing with semantic mappings.
Any chance we can convince Elisa to release a version to us to look at?
Well, we should at least get her to give us maybe a little update.
Which is even better, yeah.
Semantic, that's also fairly recent, but...
Are we going to press on with identifying what gatekeeping is responsible for? Whether it's are we going to let it subsume all of this ISO 1179? We have the number.
The 19763, and I don't actually know what's in 20943.
Yeah, I don't have the actual document myself either.
It's Procedures for Achieving Metadata Registry Content Consistency is the title.
Why don't we do this? Since we said we are going to meet more but keep it within an hour, so we could make this sort of the definition between security, gatekeeping, and administration lifecycle into sort of one major thing that we want to discuss at the next workshop. Would that be good? And then, Michael, would you like to maybe do the invitation to Elisa or Evan?
Sure.
Or okay. And then, Ken, since you will be working with the BioPortal people, could you also interest them to maybe we have a session between BioPortal and OOR?
I don't think I actually saw an email, but I think
what would be the agenda for that?
To find out what their latest developments are, what's under the hood, how we could, our work could be complementary and synergistic, and so on, I guess.
Yeah,
oh, no. I'm going to be handling that individually. I don't think we need a general meeting for it.
No?
I just need to discuss some rather technical issues with Paul Alexander.
Okay.
We don't need a general meeting.
So I thought we said earlier that it might be nice if we have such a meeting. No?
Let me first meet individually, then we'll think about what follow-up might be.
All right.
Maybe we could just resolve these issues, and then we don't really need a meeting.
Mm.
Yeah, Ken, didn't they develop a roadmap at some point? I feel I saw one a couple of years ago.
I'm not aware of that, but again, I don't see that it's necessarily... relevant for us because these are fairly low-level technical issues.
Okay.
In implementation.
That we're discussing now, or?
No, that's what Peter brought up about, you know, having a meeting with the BioPortal people.
Oh.
Well, I think there could be some benefits in learning what they're doing now with the new security mechanisms and what their next steps are, you know, for part two there.
Yeah, I think the meeting is useful, not particularly on OOR architecture, but in general, I mean, to the community, that we learn how they're developing.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Don't phrase it as.
Not particularly in the context of OOR architecture.
Right, not in the context of OOR.
So while you're talking to them, could you sort of make the invitation also?
Okay.
Yeah. So to both Ken and Michael, then I guess almost all the Thursdays and Fridays are open. I mean, if it's Thursday, then, and since both topics are of general interest, first preference will be Thursday, I guess. And if they're not available, then Friday.
Yeah, actually, you know, I was just thinking in regards to other conversations that we've had, say, with the association with IAOA and relation to standard, this might be another.
Oh, yes.
We could have like a series of those as well.
Yes, yes, yes.
You
get
two birds with one stone on this one.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to try to plan that sort of an event.
So as part of IAOA OOR Ontolog joint activity.
Yeah, joint event, yeah.
Yeah. That sounds
what is this event?
Well, no, so in another context, we've been talking about the role of
IAOA.
The Ontology Association with the standards community, so trying to facilitate more interaction and coordination and facilitation of policy development. And so that kind of talking about these, like 19763 kind of falls under that umbrella, but also it's relevant to OOR because it's a standard related to a relevance to repositories. And so I was just kind of thinking with two hats on there.
Right. What do you suggest, that we have a kind of a general meeting that involves a much larger community?
Well,
or should we try to have a more of a workshop between the people in the ISO community, like Elias and Evan, and the OOR?
Well, perhaps what we could do is have a two-parter in that sense. So we could have one that would be a general kind of overview and discussion about what's going on within that particular working group within ISO. So it'd cover 19763, but maybe some of these other ones, maybe that aren't as relevant to the repository, but are still kind of 19763 would be definitely included there. 11179 would be included there. And that would be just the general information gathering, what's happening, and then have a follow-up. I don't know if it'd be the next day, but have a follow-up, which would be more workshop-oriented.
Right.
So, okay, now, given what we learned in the previous meeting, how can we make that into action items for OOR?
Yeah, that would be great. I mean, we can do the Thursday, Friday. The Thursday would be sort of an ontolog-like general interest session, talks, overviews, and then they come on a Friday meeting the following day, and we drill down into the real bits and pieces that are totally relevant
to
the specification and so on. Sounds good.
You want those to be two separate meetings, the BioPortal presentation and the ISO presentation?
No, this is in 19763. I guess the BioPortal one, it could be the same, could be different. Your call.
I'm thinking they might. It would be kind of, yeah. So for the in the OOR context, the idea could be combined together. That's true.
No, we would want a general meeting on Thursday. Should we have two general meetings on Thursday, one for BioPortal and one for ISO?
Oh, yes. These are two separate events.
They're separate notions, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
But the question is, would each of these be sufficient by itself for a full meeting?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I guess if we can go through and learn enough about 1973 in an 1.5 to 2 hours, I mean, that would be a great accomplishment.
Okay, so what we need then is to start, you know, arranging when it's going to happen and get the invitations out. I'll take care of the invitation too with the BioPortal people. Who's going to invite Elias and Evan?
So yeah, I'll take
Michael.
Care of that.
Yeah.
Okay, you'll take care of that. And then I guess we have a lot of open meetings, open dates available.
Yeah, right. It's quickly filling up. I mean, now that we're starting to line up activities, now that the summit is over. So the major place, I don't know if most of you are aware that if you go to, let's say, today's meeting session page, and if you click on the link, actually any meeting, if you click on the link which says conference call details and click on conference call near the top. Could you do that?
Let's see. You don't have anything after the 27th.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that's what I wanted everyone to make a note of. That is our master event calendar. So when you're sort of making these invitations, just fit something into an open slot and then email me to reserve that. And then we will not all be booking on the same dates. Actually, or write, or I mean, it's a wiki, so go in and just mark it off with something reserved for such and such event, and then I can sort of go back in and put it back into the usual formats as more information comes in.
Okay, great. So that's it. Got the action items?
Yep.
I'm going to have to get going.
Yeah,
I need to be going too.
Right. Okay, so next week we're going to have the Michael's Metadata Workshop 3. And
yeah, and what I'm thinking of doing is having, kind of following up on the discussion of, you know, kind of using some concrete ontologies, like around oriented around time, I think that Mike Bennett was talking about. I'm still forming that in my head, but I was thinking that would be the basis for moving ahead in a more concrete way.
Okay. Yeah, if you have a line or two for to go into the abstract, you could email that to me when I build the page. And then after that, it will be the first Friday of the month. June 3rd, it'll be a sort of general meeting, and I guess then the 10th would be the next architecture API workshop. Does that sound good?
Okay, great.
So I'm gonna try to, and I invite Elisa and any other people. I'm gonna shoot for June 9th then for that. That might work out well then. June 9th for the general.
And 10
for the log
session,
and then on the 10th have the follow-up.
All right.
I'll try for that. I'll see if their schedules permit.
Okay.
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 Great. All right. So, unless there's any additional business, I think we can adjourn.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great meeting.
Great. Thanks a lot to everybody.
Okay. Thank you.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Bye.